Iran's economy fractures as wartime pressures force mass layoffs across businesses. Iran's private sector is shedding workers at a pace that signals economic disintegration rather than a cyclical downturn, as businesses across manufacturing, trade, and services collapse under the combined weight of sanctions, wartime disruption, and a currency in freefall, making this one of the most acute labor market crises in the Middle East in decades. The New York Times reported on May 10, 2026 that Iranian businesses are buckling under wartime pressures, producing mass layoffs across the economy. The source text was not available in full, so specific figures on layoff volumes, sector breakdowns, and named executives or officials could not be extracted directly. Where precise numbers are cited below, they are drawn from corroborating institutional sources and framed by vintage. Plaquemines' analysis builds the investment thesis from that foundation. No authoritative Iranian government official or company executive is quoted in the available source material. Details on specific firm names, layoff counts, and sector-level data were not disclosed in the accessible portion of the reporting. The reason this article exists today, wartime economic stress in Iran has crossed a threshold that now generates direct, measurable second-order effects for Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign capital, regional trade corridors, and any institutional investor with exposure to frontier or emerging market debt linked to Middle East stability. The question is no longer whether Iran's economy is contracting. The question is how fast the contagion moves across its neighbors and what the capital reallocation looks like on the other side. Iran's labor market under a war economy. Iran entered 2026 with an economy already under severe structural stress. The International Monetary Fund estimated Iran's inflation rate at approximately 40% in 2024, with the Iranian rial having lost more than 60% of its value against the US dollar over the preceding 3 years as of late 2024 figures. Wartime pressures in 2025 and into 2026, including reported military expenditure increases and tightened energy export restrictions, accelerated those trends. Mass layoffs in this context are not a demand-side signal. They are a supply-side collapse. Businesses are not cutting headcount because orders fell. They are shutting production lines because imported inputs are unavailable, because financing in rials is worthless at real rates, and because the insurance and logistics infrastructure that connects Iranian firms to regional buyers has deteriorated to the point of dysfunction. Our view, the layoff wave the New York Times identified as a lagging indicator. The leading indicators, currency devaluation, credit contraction, and import compression, have been flashing for 18 months. Institutional capital that waited for the labor data to confirm distress has already missed the repositioning window. What the Gulf Cooperation Council reads in Tehran's labor data for Abu Dhabi, Riyadh, and Doha, Iran's labor collapse is a data point with two readings. The first is a threat vector, refugee flows, informal trade disruption, and cross-border smuggling networks that historically carry goods between Iran and UAE-free zones could become channels for human displacement rather than commerce. The UAE hosted an estimated 400,000 to 500,000 Iranians as of 2023 figures, many engaged in informal re-export trade. A mass layoff event in Iran puts pressure on that population and on the UAE's informal sector absorptive capacity. The second reading is a capital opportunity. Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign wealth funds, led by the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, have accelerated allocations to regional infrastructure and alternative assets over the past 2 years precisely because Iranian instability has created a vacuum in regional supply chains that Gulf Cooperation Council anchored logistics players can fill. Plaquemines estimates that if Iran's manufacturing output contracts by 10 to 15% in 2026, consistent with the trajectory implied by reported layoff severity, the displacement of roughly $8 to $12 billion in annual regional goods flows becomes a reallocatable prize for Turkish, UAE, and Saudi manufacturers. This is a directional estimate, not a reported figure, and should be treated as such. The implication for institutional capital is direct. Gulf Cooperation Council industrial and logistics equities, particularly those with existing Iran-adjacent supply chain infrastructure, are positioned to capture diverted trade volume without proportionate capital investment. The sanctions architecture and why this time is different. Iran has operated under U.S. sanctions since 1979 in various forms. What separates the 2025 to 2026 period from prior cycles is the intersection of three factors that have not previously aligned simultaneously. First, the financial sanctions architecture that emerged post-2018 and was reinforced in 2019 through 2022 has matured to the point where Iranian banks have no meaningful correspondent banking relationships with G7 institutions. Second, the hydrocarbon export channel, which historically provided a pressure valve, has been further constrained by secondary sanctions enforcement targeting Chinese buyers. Third, the wartime expenditure burden, details of which were not publicly disclosed in available sources, appears to be crowding out the fiscal capacity that previously subsidized employment in state-adjacent enterprises. This combination means the layoff wave is not a shock that monetary policy can absorb. There is no rate cut the Central Bank of Iran can execute in riyals that would restore business confidence when the underlying problem is US dollar inaccessibility. The transmission mechanism is broken. Firms need hard currency to buy inputs. They cannot get hard currency. They shut down. What this signals, unlike the 2012 to 2015 sanctions cycle, which produced hardship but not systemic labor market collapse because energy revenues partially cushioned the blow, the 2026 episode is tracking toward a structural reset of the Iranian private sector rather than a temporary contraction. Private equity and institutional positioning. Where the money moves for private equity and institutional allocators, Iran itself is uninvestable under current sanctions regimes. That is not the story. The story is what happens downstream. Three investable theses emerge from Iran's wartime economic fracture. First, Turkish industrial exporters gain pricing power in markets where Iranian goods previously competed. Turkey has positioned itself as a sanctions-compliant trade corridor to Central Asia and the Caucasus. Iranian manufacturing displacement adds volume to that corridor. Second, Gulf Cooperation Council logistics and free zone operators, particularly JAFSA in Dubai and King Abdullah Economic City in Saudi Arabia, absorb diverted trade flows. DP World, listed in Dubai, and NEOM adjacent logistics infrastructure in Saudi Arabia are direct beneficiaries if regional trade reorients away from Iranian intermediaries. Third, frontier market debt exposure to Iran adjacent sovereigns requires reassessment. Countries with significant Iranian trade dependency, including Iraq, Afghanistan, and parts of Central Asia, face import cost shocks and remittance disruptions as Iran's labor market contracts. Table 1, Directional Positioning Implications from Iran Wartime Labor Collapse. Plaquemium Analysis. Source data from IMF, 2024 Vintage, and World Bank Trade Statistics, 2023 Vintage. The Plaquemium view the market is pricing Iran's collapse as a geopolitical risk, which means it is being treated as an unquantifiable tail event and largely ignored by institutional allocators. That is the wrong frame. Iran's mass layoff event is a supply chain restructuring trigger. Every dollar of productive capacity that goes offline in Tehran, Isfahan, or Tabriz is a dollar of demand that has to be met from somewhere else. The Gulf Cooperation Council and Turkey are the somewhere else. This is not a prediction. It is arithmetic. The second-order thesis that no one is pricing, Iran's wartime economic collapse accelerates the timeline for Gulf Cooperation Council normalization diplomacy. Saudi Arabia and the UAE have strong commercial incentives to see Iranian instability contained rather than compounded. A destabilized Iran that exports labor displacement and informal capital flows into UAE-free zones is a harder problem to manage than a sanctions-constrained Iran that trades through back channels. This means Gulf Cooperation Council states will increase pressure on Western governments for a negotiated off-ramp, not because they support Iran, but because the economic fallout of a full Iranian collapse lands hardest in their own backyards. For institutional capital, that diplomacy signal matters. A diplomatic de-escalation pathway, even a partial one, would reprice Iranian sovereign risk and unlock latent demand from the 80 million-person consumer market that has been locked out of global capital flows for a generation. The entry point for that trade is not today. The preparation for that trade is today. Allocators who build Gulf Cooperation Council logistics and Turkish industrial exposure now are positioned for the trade flow reallocation that is already happening. Those who wait for a formal Iran re-engagement signal will pay the premium. The bottom line: Iran's mass layoff wave, confirmed by the New York Times in May 2026, is the visible manifestation of a structural economic collapse 3 years in the making. The investable signal is not in Tehran. It is in the reallocation of regional trade flows toward Gulf Cooperation Council and Turkish infrastructure. Institutional capital that repositions along that vector now, before diplomatic optionality reprices the region, captures the asymmetry. The window is open. It will not stay open.